Hello everyone. You're very welcome along on this latest audio walk from open country with me, Tom. You join me on what is an absolutely glorious day today. There's hardly a cloud in the sky, and the hazy sunshine is illuminating the valley of Nidderdale, which is stretching out before me. Today we're heading off on quite an epic adventure. We're starting at Scarhouse Reservoir, right at the very top end of Nidderdale, and walking to the boundary of the Yorkshire Dales and the highest point in the Nidderdale National Landscape, Great Whernside. It's going to be about 6.5 miles. So, I suppose we'd better put our best foot forward and get walking. We're starting our walk from the access road that winds its way up alongside the fledgling River Nid through beautiful pockets of woodland from the little village of Lofthouse. After leaving the village, it's still 4 miles to get up to the reservoir dam. On my left-hand side, there's remains of some old houses and various different other buildings. Because as the reservoir was being built in the 1920s and 30s, they built a village here for the workers and their families. They probably came up from the towns and cities of North Yorkshire and West Yorkshire in the valleys below. And that would have been quite a commute to get up to this remote location. And at the height of the work going on the reservoir build, there was over 1,000 people living here, so quite a population. It seems quite surreal today as I'm walking through this very desolate landscape, other than a few farms and barns dotting the fields around. It is very desolate indeed. It really is hard to believe that there was so much hubbub of people going about their daily lives here. Of course, when the reservoir was built, it was completed in 1936, then the people were no longer needed and neither were the houses, so they were demolished. Although two of the buildings, believe it or not, still survive to this day. The village hall was moved to the village of Darley, further down Nidderdale, and the church was rebuilt in the little town of Heaton on the outskirts of Bradford, which is ironically where a lot of the water from Scarhouse goes to when people turn on their taps in Leeds and Bradford. They'll probably not even realise that their water has travelled from this beautifully idyllic location. Anyway, I can see the Grand Reservoir Dam looming just over in the distance, and it's drawing me ever further into the beautiful bleakness of the Upper Nid Valley. I'm being surrounded by house martins. They're zipping over the reservoir dam and skimming across the water in search of their breakfast. I'm sure there's lots of little insects hovering above the water's surface and they're absolutely loving it. Well, not the insects, the house martins. They're all nesting in the pumping station, which is a large turreted building that sits on the edge of the reservoir dam here at Scarhouse. Both the pumping station and the dam itself is built in this grand Gothic style, with turrets and little finials placed alongside the edge of the water. And then as I look down to the other side, it's just this vast swathe of woodland as the valley of Nidderdale starts out and twists its way round the corner out of sight down towards Lofthouse from where I drove up this morning. And as I look the other way over the water, which is shining blue in this beautiful weather, I can see the hills that I'm aiming for in the distance beyond. Little Wernside on the right and Great Wernside on the left, our final destination for today. After the smooth tarmac of the path over the reservoir down, the track has now started to get a lot more rutted as we start to climb. I have a feeling that this won't be the only climb that we'll be doing on this audio walk today. In fact, it's only just the start, as Great Wernside is one of the highest peaks in the Yorkshire Dales. It's beautiful to walk on a day like today, when the sun illuminates the landscape around, because it highlights all the beautiful different colour contrasts. Up to my right, I've got this hill that is towering above me. The top of it is scarred by industry. There was once quarrying for the stone up here at one time. So the further up you go up the hill, you can see the terraces of rock that have been cut into by human hand. So on the top of the hill, it's quite grey and brown. And then as you come down to the more lush, richer pastures, you get the lighter green of the grasses and then the darker green of the bracken, which is acting as a patchwork on the hillside. As we start to climb, it's lovely to have this elevated view of the reservoir. It is quite low, actually. I'm quite surprised because we have had quite a lot of rain this summer. But there's definite edges of the banking where it's just mud and rock. The water level sitting slightly lower than the overflow of the dam. I can also see ripples on the water's surface. Must be fish that are swimming underneath and breaching the surface to grab the same flies that those house martins are going for. It really isn't a good day to be a fly at Scarhouse Reservoir today. The path is now undulating as we've hit a bit of a level section. It's beautiful to see it winding off into the distance, into the bleak moor-clad hills. With the tumbled down dry stone walls at either side, it's another one of those features that draws me in on a walk like this and pulls me ever further towards my destination. I've reached a point now where I can actually see either end of Scarhouse Reservoir. It does curve round to echo the lie of the landscape, so from the dam you can't see the top end. But now I would say we're over halfway along the banks of the reservoir, so we've got that vantage point around the corner. Of course, the River Nidd would have originally just flowed straight down the valley, unhindered by the dams that are here today, creating these bodies of water. And I say bodies of water in plural because just above Scarhouse can now make out the equally impressive and grand dam of Angrim Reservoir, which was actually built before Scarhouse. I'd like to pay a testament here to Victorian engineering. I think a lot of the buildings that we see now are built very much for practicality. Reservoir dams out of sort of flat concrete. Whereas the Victorians didn't just make things that were practical, it made them very aesthetically pleasing as well. And I think you'd have to argue that the dams that are here in the Upernid Valley today actually add to the spectacle of the landscape rather than being eyesores. As you walk up the tracks towards these impressive parts of engineering, it really does take your breath away. And as I say, complements the grand, impressive landscape that they sit in. We've now reached a beautiful pocket of peaceful woodland. It makes quite a stark contrast from the bleak moors that are now surrounding us. But in amongst these trees are the remains of some more tumbled down buildings. These ones actually predate the village down at Scar House. This little settlement is known as Lodge, and it actually dates back to the 1600s when the first settlers made their footprint here and started farming the area. Of course, the buildings from the 1600s are long gone, and the updated buildings that we can still see the remains of today are actually the remains of farms that came about in the 1830s. It's amazing to think in such a bleak area that people could find a home and thrive off the land. I think these days we're so attached to our home comforts of being a short commute to the local shop or pub that we forget that people lived in this very humble way. And it shows with the passing of time and the state of the rubble all piled up in front of me here, that our digital, technologically filled world is a far cry from what was once here. I think this lovely pocket of wood is going to be my last bastion of shade before we venture out into the hills and the open moorland above me. So I'm going to take a swig of my water and then venture out into the unknown. It's so peaceful out here. Apart from the odd sheep bleating and a few birds tittering above, you could hear a pin drop. As we start to climb and add distance between ourselves and the reservoir, what looked like a huge body of water when I was walking alongside it earlier on is now looking quite diminutive, just a puddle glinting in the sun. The terrain underfoot has changed quite dramatically as well. From a nice track, we've now entered into these moorland fields which are clad with tussocks. I'm trying my best to pay attention to where I'm putting my feet so I don't twist my ankle on the uneven ground. I'm also having to check my map a lot more frequently as well, as the path is a lot less defined and there's lots of sheep tracks disappearing off in different directions. As much as they've carved a nice gap through the long grasses for me, I don't want to end up at a watering hole instead of the summit of Great Wernside. The more I trudge across this desolate land, the more I'm realising I'm glad I'm walking this in the height of summer and not in the depths of winter. I imagine it being very boggy indeed. As I traverse the moorland, there's these streams running down off the hills, and you can tell where they are even though they're very overgrown. by a line of darker grasses that have obviously sprung up through the nutrients of the damp soil. And when you come to them, you've really got to pick your track of how you navigate across it. Otherwise, I could be going down to my knees in very unpleasant boggy mud. Thankfully, so far, I've managed to avoid that fate. So fingers crossed for the rest of the walk. Apart from the sheep that are surrounding me, nibbling on the rich grasses of the moor, it is very lonely up here. The last time I saw a person was somebody running along the track around Scarhouse Reservoir. Since then, it's just been me all by myself, which I must admit has been quite lovely, but also quite daunting as well, because if I did come a cropper in one of these muddy pools or twist my ankle on a tussock, then it makes you realise how domineering and threatful nature can be at times, and that you do have to respect it when you're out and about. I haven't even mentioned this glorious sunshine beating down as well, with not an inch of shade around me. Thankfully, there has been a bit more cloud cover billowing up since I started, and a nice cool breeze licking through the air, making this even more of a pleasant walk. Now making our way underneath Little Wernside, which is a craggy hill off to the right, which is cut by lines of peat. There is a footpath that runs across the top of there, but as I was walking through the car park after starting this walk, I met a gentleman who said, "Oh, you're not going up there, are you? It's very rough underfoot." So if this path's anything to go by, I think this is as rough as I can possibly cope with today as I'm out on my own. Anyway, not too far now to go until we hit the ridge of Great Wernside, although a little bit more climbing ahead, I think. So let's carry on and enjoy this beautiful landscape on a spectacular day. Well, I feel like we've reached the first main milestone of our walk today. The border between Nidderdale National Landscape and the Yorkshire Dales National Park. On the left-hand side of the wall that we're currently walking along is Nidderdale, and on the right is Coverdale. We've just got one last short, sharp climb to do until we hit the ridge of Great Wernside itself. Our destination is very much nearly in sight. Ah, as a buzzard circles on the thermals just above me, we've made it to the pinnacle, the summit of Great Wernside. This spectacular hill got its name, it said, from the Norse Quernside, which was first recorded as far back as 1214. Quern, meaning millstone, and side, obviously meaning hillside. It stands proudly at 704 metres above sea level. That's 2,310 feet. And it forms a pinnacle in between the three dales of Coverdale, Wharfdale, and of course Nidderdale, from where we've walked. Of course, it's not to be confused with the Wernside, one of the Yorkshire Dales' three peaks, alongside Ingleborough and Penigent, the outlines of which I can actually see from this spectacular vantage point. Although it's a hazy, sunny day, the views from up here are absolutely spectacular. As I've already mentioned, you can see the outline of the three peaks. and also Wharfdale disappearing in both directions from the little village of Kettlewell at the foot of Great Whernside in Wharfdale, up towards Buckden in one direction and down towards Kilnsea in the other, with its distinctive limestone-hooked crag which hangs over the village. As we look down off the hill in the opposite direction, we're looking straight down into Nidderdale. The source of the River Nidd is actually just below us on the hillside here, as it starts its meandering journey, first of all through Angram Reservoir and Scar House, down through Lofthouse to Pateley Bridge, and out into the wider valley below. Those two reservoirs that we walked up past earlier on are still there, glinting in the sunshine. Also glinting in the sunshine, I'm sure, is my car, which is in the car park down there somewhere. On a hazy day like today, my eyes aren't quite good enough to pick it out, but I know it's probably there, soaking up the day's sunshine and acting as a greenhouse for me when I get back to it. So I suppose I ought to make the most of this lovely cooling breeze, which is taking the edge off that warm sunshine. As the shadowy outlines of what few clouds there are in the sky make their way over the banks of the hill and the surrounding landscape. After walking nearly 6.5 miles to get here, it really does feel like a real achievement. Not just because of the distance and the terrain, but also the scope of what we can witness and experience from this great summit. I do hope you've enjoyed joining me on this audio walk today as much as I've enjoyed walking it. If you have, then please check out more of our audio walks at opencountry.org.uk, where you can listen to our back catalogue and all subsequent audio walks still to come as well. On the Open Country website, you can also find out more about how we help people with disabilities to access and enjoy the countryside, how you might want to volunteer with us or help us out by donating. I'm just going to perch on this rock and enjoy the view for a little bit longer before trudging back and retracing my steps back down towards Scar House. But from a breezy, sun-drenched summit of Great Whernside, thank you very much for listening, and bye for now.